This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And the Leafs are down 3-1 in the series versus the Bruins as we do this show. And we'll get into that in a bit. But first, we want to tell you that BetOnline is your number one source for all sports this season, from the NHL and NBA playoff stats. And now the MLB season is going as well, and golf too. So all the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there.
Head to the website today, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know needs support or advice, reach out to Connex Ontario or an organization near you. Place your limits and stay within it.
All right, so we're starting the show off on a positive. Yes, there are some positive things out there. Thank you to everyone who follows us on social media. On Facebook, we have quite a few Leaf fans who engage with us. Kenny Slobodzian, who is really positive. Got to give him that, Kenny. And Betty Ann Perro and Diane Hoy, to name a few, on Facebook. And thank you for sharing your thoughts on the Leafs with us.
And on YouTube, we want to thank Jeffrey Curry, who told us he was a first-time listener and enjoyed our show. We also want to thank Penny Hellstrom and Kim Hunt for subscribing to our channel.
Yeah, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button or follow button wherever you listen or watch our show. Now we just want to take a minute to remember Hockey Night in Canada broadcaster Bob Cole, who passed away at the age of 90 earlier this week. And I posted on our X feed the play that really stands out to me, and it's Nick Borshevsky goal. And I always remember the words, "This has been an unbelievable turn of events." I was like, oh my God. And then I remember it running out onto the balcony and waking up Syl's neighborhood after that. But yes, that's my call. Cause like that was truly an unbelievable like series, and just to win it in overtime like that, game seven, Nick Borshevsky, and back in 93. And he had many, many great calls, but for a Leaf fan, that was my call. What was yours?
Yeah, we need an unbelievable turn of events this time around as well. So hopefully he'll be calling that one in game seven for us. From up there in heaven. My favorite one, I have to go back to that same playoff run, because really, you know, I mean, we had some really great ones in the 2000s, late 90s as well. But the ones in the early 90s ones, like there was so much, like, you know, I mean, we've been going through some rough times here. It's a bit of an emotional roller coaster, but that time back in the 80s, like, people don't even remember. I think it's like PTSD, and we all sort of forget how bad it was back then. So in that 92, 93 run, it was just like, wow, like we hadn't seen that kind of success for so long. So for me, the one that I hearken back to is the Gilmore wraparound goal versus St. Louis. And that double overtime. The reason why I like that one is because we were actually at that game. So when I watch that feed and I watch that highlight and I hear his call, it really takes me back to that moment again. And I get to relive it Because he just, the way he described it, it was just so, so great as well. So
yeah. Boiling hot in Maple Leaf Gardens.
Yeah.
And yeah, and we were in the standing rooms in the red section behind the Reds. But that was funny that Cujo actually tagged Dougie in that on his story feed on Instagram. Mm-hmm. That was hilarious. Mm-hmm. But so rest in peace, Bob Cole.
Yes. So now it's time to get in to the predicament the Leafs find themselves in. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
All right. So we're like all Leaf fans, basically. We're pretty down or pissed. In my case, I was pissed off and a lot of other fans pissed off too. But I think the first thing that pissed me off too was losing both games at home, basically.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I really think that game three, that was the one we really needed to have.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. And they've lost six straight playoff games at home now for the first time since the, between 1971 and 1974. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. They just, it's funny because every playoff game we've been to, that first 10 minutes, they always say the team, the visiting team has to get through that first 10 minutes for the home because the ice is tilted. The home team is like all over you. And in neither game, three or four, it wasn't like that. It's like they freeze. I don't know. And
to me, they didn't look nervous at all in either of these two games. And I thought there have been other playoff series past where they've seemed a lot more nervous, a lot more gripping their sticks, tentative. I didn't get that feeling. These last two games,
they're just, I don't know. They just don't. And then this whole thing about the fans not being into it, let's just say, and all of a sudden now last night's crowd on Saturday was so much better. I was like, really? I'm like, great. Who cares? If you can't channel that energy from the fans, right? And bring it on the ice, the coach shouldn't have to motivate you to be at a home playoff game in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm sorry, you should be motivated yourself. You're getting paid however much. And it just looked like, not that they didn't care, I'm sure they care, right? And that they want to win.
They do,
right? They obviously want to win, but there's just, again, it's the same old story. There's just something that the it factor, as we say every year, it's just not there for this group.
What I kind of wonder is, you know, when you have your team stacked with guys that are elite like this, you know, they've, for the most part for their career, they've pretty much been able to do whatever they want on the ice without having to make too many adjustments. And now, you know, that is the name of the game in the playoffs. It's all about adjustments. And no one seems to be able to make these adjustments. And the changes they make, I mean, we're going to get into that part later. Yeah. Make no sense either. Yeah. But the thing is these guys, by now, they should know what's coming. And what bothers me the most is that, you know, you've got one identity for the regular season, and then all of a sudden you think you can flip the switch and play differently for the playoffs. And I think that is the real mistake, because I don't think they really understand what that means, that, you know, that this is now playoff hockey and the Bruins are playing playoff hockey. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that the Leafs should be changing the way they play. Like, it's all fine and good that, you know, they're matching them, you know, hit for hit and all of that. And they've got the most hits out of all the series between these two teams. But if hitting and focusing on that is taking you off your game, then is it worth it? Really, what playoff hockey means is that you should be able to take those hits and not let it derail your game. You need to stick to your guns and play your game through that. What it means.
Imposing your will and how you play the game on
100%.
The other team. Yeah. And they just don't do that, or they don't know how to do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. But going back to this home record too, we mentioned it during the regular season too. Their regular season, they were 22-15-4 at home, because there were teams that they lost so many points because of that, because they just didn't get up for games at home for whatever reason, or not realizing that the visiting team, everybody that comes into Toronto, enjoys beating the Leafs. Like, that's their mm-hmm. Stanley Cup, basically. And last season, though, we were 27-8-6. So there's quite a bit of a difference there from last season to this season.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is about this like being at home, but if they can win game five, which I am actually expecting that they are going to put us through more mm-hmm. pain and that they're going to pull it out on game five. Whether it's Matthews dragging us through, like, feeling better. Personally, I think maybe in Boston, because he wasn't feeling good in game three either. He was mm-hmm. worse in game three. But I'm thinking, like, you never know, somebody in Boston there may have planted something in his food. Apparently it's food poisoning.
Well, that's the only thing that makes sense to me, because that's the only thing that would keep him out. Like, if he had just had the flu or something, like, I think that he must be super dehydrated because he can't keep stuff down. So he's not strong, but he's also, the dehydration is the dangerous thing. That's the thing, if you get overly dehydrated, he can end up in the hospital. So,
which I'm sure
they're trying to keep up his fluids and everything with IVs and stuff, but
And thankfully, we have the two games in between both. Games two, three, and four. We had the mm-hmm. two games, and then now we have another 2 days off between games before game five. So I'm fully expecting them to take game five. It's going to be close, but I think they're going to, and then they'll probably have one more home game, and hopefully, that home game they'll be.
Well, I mean, I think it hasn't looked good so far, obviously, but that is the thing that's so painful, is that this team, if there's a team out there that can do it, it's this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the problem. That's what is like a dagger in the heart, like every game.
Yeah.
Because even now we hold out hope.
Yeah.
Because they have the weapons.
Yeah.
And if they just freaking start pulling on the same rope, like Mike said last show, you know, I think that's what happens, is they just, when things start to fall apart, instead of like pulling closer, they just basically all let go of the rope, and it just, you know.
Yeah. Rowing, as Mike said, rowing in the same direction.
In the same direction. And they just go around in circles over and over and over. We hold out hope because, yes. If a few things start going their way, I suspect that Willie is going to get better and better with each game.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that shakeup on the bench is what Mitch needed to get his head back to where it should be, because obviously he went out right after that and scored.
Yeah.
So,
we'll talk about more about that in a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
So let's move on then, because a huge... huge part of the demise of our team so far is the special teams. It is absolutely in the toilet.
It's horrific.
So the power play makes me sick even saying it, 7.1%, which is the last out of all the playoff teams. So even the Predators are slightly better, a wild card team. They're 1-for-20 on the power play opportunities at home in the postseason, which is, like we just said, that's a disgrace. Penalty kill, 53.8% in this series, which is third last of all the playoff teams, only better than the Kings and the Stars. So like the Stars, that's an interesting conundrum there also.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is for this, but I really like... They keep trotting out the same guys.
Yeah, and it's going back to the regular season. How many?
Yeah.
We talked about it from the beginning of the season. We said it. Special teams, we got to get like it on track the whole mm-hmm. season, because that's what makes the difference in the playoffs.
And because that is basically how Boston has won these games.
Yeah. Yeah. And
on the power play. Five on five, our team has been the better team. I think most people would agree with that. But on specialty teams, absolutely. Yeah. That's basically been the story of this series.
Yeah. And in my opinion, like after this season, if we do lose this series, like definitely I'm not going to get into Sheldon Keefe. We'll get into that later. But with Guy Boucher, like, he's out the door. He's either changed positions or he's gone, because obviously he's in charge of the power play. And yeah, it's just not going well the whole season. Like, it hasn't been for majority of the season anyways. They were seventh overall in the regular season, but still.
And what then, kills me is Keith in the presser after saying, you know, he's asked, you know, what should they change? He's like, now isn't the time to make changes. Pardon?
why didn't you make the change in March then, when it was crap back then too? Like, why didn't you do something then?
Not to mention, they play all these video coaches. I'm pretty sure they have video of when our power play was the top in the league at some point this season.
Yeah. We're so, paying the video coaches.
Yeah, that's right. So why are they not, you know, looking at that video and basically figuring, looking to that and saying, okay, can we pull some of what we were doing then and do it now?
Yeah. The thing I see on the power play, like, it's that stupid drop pass that we talk about all the time. All teams do it, but we're just too slow at it when we're coming through at the neutral zone. And yes, all the teams, including in the regular season, they're pressuring us because they can see how slow we are transitioning into the O zone. And but that just means you got to move your feet a little bit faster. Move that puck faster. Like, get going. Like, what the hell are you dilly-dallying in the neutral zone? We had that stat in our show. It's just so repetitive right now in our shows that we talked about in the regular season when it came to the power play, that time in the neutral zone that we spend, we're among the highest in the league, if not the highest, is how much time to transition into the offensive zone on the power play. It's ridiculous.
And we can't break through. And the thing is when our power play was clicking, we were not doing that as much. We weren't going all the way back. We weren't spending that much time in the setup. We were actually a lot more aggressive. But this thing, when they're not comfortable, this is their fallback, because that is their comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, they just feel like more time and space, whatever. But
and then for the
if you can't get out of your, if you can't get out of your own end, then it's pointless.
Yeah. And then because our PK is also crap, like, it's interesting. 5 of the past 10 cup winners had above 85% percentage on the penalty kill. Mm-hmm. And right now, like, we're the bottom. Like we said, we're 53%. Like, that's like insane.
I don't think we've ever been that bad.
No, I know. And
how do you go from one of the best last year to like one of the worst now?
That. We talked about that too, but they the Leafs brass, as they say, like Treliving and that, they obviously noticed that at the trade deadline. Like, they brought in Connor Dewar, Lyubushkin, and Edmondson. All of them play on the PK. So they obviously knew there was an issue then. So then they got those three, but it's still not working. So obviously something is wrong. And then the fact that the PK is not working puts more pressure on the power play to work, and neither is working, right? So it's just like, It's just awful. They got to fix it by Tuesday night.
Well, yeah. And the fact that they took Dewar out last night, that was a mistake. I have to say that I think that last night's game, one of the people that I noticed the most and I think had a great game was Edmondson. He was a real, calming influence out there. And I think he played a great game. But, you know,
he almost scored in the third there.
He's only one guy though, right?
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, but I think that it could have been a lot worse if he didn't have good a game as he did.
Yeah. All right. Enough about special teams. Let's move on to this core five. Let's just say Morgan Riley has been pretty quiet. I have to say,
I know that Mitch has gotten a lot of people on him calling him invisible, but there's a few other people invisible.
Oh yeah.
Also.
No. And I'm done with these guys. I off the air, I was telling Syl, I went through the history before in my research for the show. And I look back to say, okay, I knew there was a time that, I just didn't feel that these core players were going to mesh together and win lots of Stanley Cups, like Mike Babcock said. It's funny, like, after last year would have been his last season as a Leafs coach if he went the full 8-year contract. And I remember him saying at his press conference how, oh, we're going to win lots of Stanley Cups and I might even stay longer. It's like, we're nowhere near that. Right? It's just like unbelievable that way. But I remember, I guess it was after we lost to the Bruins in that 2018-19 season, again, in game seven, that I thought to my, and that's like three seasons into, I guess, the Matthews era. And I just didn't think it was going to happen for this group. Like, they did not have that it factor. And, but then Dubas came along and I blamed Sill a little bit for this, convincing me, like, you know, Dubas came in that season. So, like, just give him some time. So I gave him some time. And then I was just, and then, yeah. And then it just went on. I guess the pandemic started. A lot of this has to do with the pandemic too. Like, when it comes to this salary, like our cap situation and everything, with the cap not increasing, a lot of it has to do with that too. But I don't know. What did you think of that chatter on the bench with Nylander and Matthews and Marner?
Well, I kind of wish that I would have seen the few seconds before they shot to Matthews there.
Yes.
Because we didn't see what maybe Mitch was saying.
Right.
But I kind of liked it, to tell you the truth, because the thing is it's showing like it's a little bit more emotion. You know, you can't, after something like that, trot out the whole thing of we believe in each other, you know, all of that. When there's obviously some cracks there.
Yeah,
I have to say that I loved Willie's reaction.
Yeah,
because he gets it.
Yes.
Yeah. For sure. You know, like whatever he said there, you know, yeah, he's basically saying, put on your big boy pants and just play the game, you know? So I think that is actually good. You know, it's like you talk about, you know, married couple that never fights and people say, oh, they must have the best marriage. You know, that's not always the case. Sometimes you have to have these disagreements, and if they're starting to get fired up, like, I'd like to see how fired up they're getting in the dressing room then after that, you know?
Yeah, that would have been something to be a fly on the wall there in that intermission, right? that would have been interesting.
I don't know. And obviously it did something, because the very next period, you know, somebody went out there and scored. So made himself seen. Yeah. So
It's just like I don't know. I mean, you have to take their post-game comments, obviously, with a grain of salt. They obviously, they're going to tell. They're programmed to talk to the media in a certain way and programmed answers and that kind of thing. But you just, again, you don't see any accountability. It's always denial sort of thing, right? Or like just the usual explanations. And yeah, we know that they don't hate each other or anything like that. And like you were saying, they're pushing each other that way, and that's a good thing. They were saying, I guess Elliot Friedman mentioned in the intermission that maybe like it was like Pittsburgh, was it Malkin and Kessel that had the argument on the bench?
And I remember that. Very clearly remember that.
Yeah.
We all know what happened that year.
Yes. Yeah. So it was kind of interesting for him to reference that part. I don't think that these guys are, I guess, going to take the situation like that, just because I just don't think they have it in them. I don't know. It's just been too long. I mean,
the thing is that, you know, we have a lot of history now to go on, and they so far have not proved that they do have it in them. So it's going to take some real heroics on all of these guys' parts to actually get it done. I mean, look at last year, just to get that one series. That was heroics by John Tavares. You know, he basically showed up and took the game on his shoulders in that game that got us over, right? And Morgan Riley also came up huge in that series as well. And I mean, the other guys, they also contributed too. But the big moments, those are the ones that I remember, you know, in overtimes and stuff like that. But speaking of that, I mean, one of the people that is, I think, has been lacking in this series has been John Tavares in particular, because I mean, as much as I hate Brad Marchand, that is a captain, ladies and gentlemen, out there on the ice, you know? Yeah. And I mean, obviously, Hockey Night in Canada is really pumping up that narrative because they show him every chance they get, you know, pumping up his bench and, you know, high-fiving the guys after, you know, going off the ice and all of that stuff. But you know what? He was trained by one of the best, Patrice Bergeron, and he used to do that all the time too. You know, maybe not in the same, you know, Marchand way that he does.
Yeah.
But you know what? He is showing up in those big moments, and he has been the star of this series, really, which makes me sick to say. But I am not seeing anything from our captain at all.
Yeah, it's the same stoic kind of John Tavares that we're seeing all the time.
He's got one gear, it looks like.
Yeah.
And these are the moments, these are the times where you need to show emotion.
Yeah. 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 No, I know.
Because that is what we want to see that. Like, even if they lose, like, show that it's like it hurts you, like it hurts us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, and like, because all he said that I heard his post game too, and they were asking him about the fans booing, and it's like, well, yeah, they're like, that's fine, like that's fine, like that they can boo, like we deserve that sort of thing, right? And that's it. And I was like, well, then, yeah, but then just say, you know, it's on us, like say something further, like to say that we need them, we need to play better or be better or find different ways to play better for them to cheer us on, basically, right? Like it's just, I don't know, he just doesn't have, he's not, I don't know what we're gonna do. At least we only have one between him and Marner. We have, like, they're going into their last years of their contracts, and that's where I'll just say it quickly because we'll take this further once this season is over, but that's where I think, like, if we can, like, if they both obviously love being Maple Leafs, right? Like, it's not that they don't love being Leaf, but if they both have, like, no movement clauses, and if they both decide that they don't want to go somewhere else and be traded in a deal, whatever that deal is, I just say make it. I don't think it's going to be Tavares because he's the captain. I think it would be Marner. But if he doesn't want to go, he wants to play his full contract out, become a UFA, then that's fine. So be it. And like, if this team needs to take a step back before it comes back again, like whether we miss the playoffs or, I don't know, maybe again, lose in the first round again, let's just say next season, but lose in a different fashion, because there are different ways of losing. Like this one is more painful, let's just say, right, that we're going through right now. And, but yeah, I just think it's not so bad if this team takes a step back, and then we'll still have 2 or 3 years left in the Matthews contract and go from there, because I just don't think Mitch Marner has it and like in him to be able to handle being in the spotlight here. And he's just getting rammed in the, like by fans here. It's not good for him, and he can go on and be a star somewhere else. And he will be a star somewhere else because he's a great player. It's not a fit here because we need other things in our lineup. Like on the specifically in defense and goaltending, right?
Well,
it's
yeah,
that balance, and hopefully Treliving. I mean, this is his first season, so hopefully moving forward. Again, it all depends on what's the new CEO's name again? It's
Keith Pelly.
Keith Pelly, yeah. Hopefully, with him, you don't know what's going to happen after this, but yeah, I just think.
Well, I think we are seeing that, you know, you can have, there's other really good passers in the league, and that, you know, Austin Matthews doesn't necessarily need the elite passing of Mitch Marner, you know?
Yeah.
He can do it also with somebody else who's as good a playmaker, right?
Yeah.
One thing. So maybe doesn't have all the same attributes, but.
Yeah. Going back to that discussion on the bench there that they had, I thought it was hilarious when, because Matthew said whatever he said to Marner, and Bertuzzi was in, he was beside Matthew, but he leans back, like he's like, I'm not part of this. I'm not part of this, right? And then somebody on X said, Yeah, he's kind of like saying, yeah, I'm not going to be here next year, so I don't really care about this conversation right now. I thought it was hilarious. I was just like, I really hope. I mean, he's another one that actually he's great. Again, he's done what, I mean, he could do a little bit better, I think. Like,
yeah,
for production,
I still say that right now he's a bit of a disappointment in this playoffs. I think that he is overly consumed. I don't know. This is the thing. It's like, the organization has it within their power to take the freaking cell phones away from these people.
Right.
Just take them away or take them off of social media.
Yeah.
Put them in a bubble if you have to. Because honestly, I think that from the very beginning, when Bertuzzi had that kind of ha 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 moment with Marchand at the very first game,
yeah,
I think he heard it big time from all over of how, what a bad look that was. But now he is consumed with Marchand and his and his antics. And I think that is taking him off of his game. It's all of this stuff is a distraction and our team is eating into it. Just completely just taken in by it.
I guess it's frustrating because it's happened before. It's a repeat, right?
Yeah.
It's from that 2013 series, although none of these players except for Morgan Riley was there. Then this 2018-19 series versus the Bruins. And now it's happening again, right? Like, it's
well, except that we were in the driver's seat for those two and now we're not. So
for the
maybe,
2018, maybe. The 2018 one, we were the 2013. No, 2013. We actually had the exact same record. Now we lost our two games at home.
Yeah. Well, so I look back there you go. We made it to game seven.
Yes,
for that
we
one.
Made it. Yeah. That was why it was so, it was just a different way to crush us because they made it to the game seven and then they lost the way they did in 2013. I mean, that's whatever. It's a totally different team with James Reimer in goal and all that. But, but yeah, so I don't know. I just don't think these guys have it. And I went through it just to see, I guess, I'm going to leave it actually, those other statistics about Dubas, because that's something for the postseason. We'll save that for another time because that just made me more pissed off today when I was looking at that. And yeah, let's move on now.
Okay.
Let's go.
Thoughts on Sheldon Keefe. So, he's now 4-12 at home in the playoffs.
Yay.
So,
fifth season as head coach. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for that, I think it's time for a new voice. Like, he's had his opportunity. And in this series, I just think that he's not making the detailed adjustments that are needed. Like, he's making the adjustments, like in-game adjustments, as much as he, like the ones that he's supposed to, that everybody knows that he should. But like, I don't know, like you would think he needed to get Matthews away from Lindholm, let's say, right?
For sure. And that was driving me crazy that the minute he would come on,
he went right
the
over
other
the
guys
boards.
Would go off and then it would come on. It's like, so then why are you not then short shifting him? You take him off and then put somebody else on. Yeah. And then when they go off, which they're going to have to, then you put him back on. Like, he's not doing anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
He's just giving them the upper hand that way. He's just like saying he's not countering. Yes. So maybe he's making the adjustments, but he's not countering at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. And so that's just one thing. And I mean, but when it goes back to the special teams, bottom line, he's ultimately the one that is responsible for that. Like the head coach, like regardless of Guy Boucher and Mike Van Ryn, like they're in charge of the PP, the penalty kill. But Keefe oversees all that. And it's obviously not, that's been the main difference in this series is the special teams. And so he's getting like an F in that department as well.
Big time.
Big time. Because there's just been no, when it comes to special teams, like there's been no adjustments there at all.
No, instead, this is the thing. It's like the games and his strategy is a microcosm of their power play. It's like, you know, we just talked about how their comfort zone is going back and coming into, you know, from their zone and with that big swing back. And, you know, and it's so slow and predictable. He's slow and predictable, too, because he is not making any changes there. Basically, he has the ability to split it up 50-50 for even that would be something different. But no, he's still continuing to put those guys out on for like a minute 40.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
What you have the ability to switch people up completely.
Yeah.
Put JT and Marner on one and move, you know, the other guys up.
Yeah. 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 No, there's
or
lots
split
of,
it up.
Or split it up.
Different look. Like,
different. Yeah. Like, I do give him, because you said you expected it, but I do give him a thumbs up to like to try and give them a jolt, I guess, is putting Joseph Wall in goal, like in mm-hmm. the third period. That I thought was a good move. Do you think he's going to start in game five?
I think so. And I think it's because he's calm back there. Even when he's not playing, even when he's letting goals in, he's still kind of unflappable. I don't know.
Yeah.
At this point, after pulling Sammy, like, do you really think you can go back to him when he's like pretty fragile?
Yeah.
He has let in some bad goals. Actually, game three, you can hang some of that on him.
Yeah. 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 No, definitely. Like,
he's been fine.
He's been fine. Yeah.
We need better than fine. And he was better than fine last season when we won that first round.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And you never know. We might have these, I guess, seeing that Wall, obviously he didn't let anything in when he came in the third. You never know. Like, he might have gained some confidence from that. And by going mm-hmm. into that do or die situation, like you said, he has that calm demeanor in him. So he might be the one to maybe get in the heads of the Bruins a little bit. Mm-hmm. That way, so I don't know, we'll see about that. The other thing that Sheldon Keefe, I guess going back to him, he said it was funny. He's like, there's nothing with his post game comments. He says there's nothing wrong with it, the effort level tonight. Guys are competing. It's physical hockey. Guys are trying. It's a good team over there that's limiting us. You can question a lot of things, but you can't question the effort. It's like blah 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 blah. It's the same story all the time. We know that they're trying, but it's like, obviously, he doesn't have any other strategies. That's the other thing. Like, they talked, Kevin Bieksa, I think, noted on it in mm-hmm. on Hockey Night in Canada last night. Like, you need to have like the plan A, B, C, D, like in game for strategy. Mm-hmm. If you do this, you do this. It doesn't seem like he has any of that. Like, to go.
No, and I think that is what is really the kicker, is that it's like that whole, it's the definition of insanity, basically. It's like they keep trying to do the same thing over and over and over, and it's not working.
And it's not their game, basically. Like, no. We were saying originally.
Like, they need to be playing like the Avalanche are playing. Like, I look at those West games and I'm like, damn it, I wish we were in that at that conference, because we would be killing it. Yeah. Because that is our game. That is closer to how we play, that the way they play over there. Yes, it's tough hockey. Yes, there's less space, but they are playing fast, possession, you know, like here, it's just like freaking skating through mud, and they're trying to skate through the mud, but that's not their game.
No, it's not. And they have to change it by starting Tuesday night. They got to change it or they'll be teeing up the golf course and we'll start hearing all those lovely Leaf haters out there with their jokes and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, the series isn't over.
No, not by a long stretch. And
we expect like they're going to go to the game six. I think so. What happens there, we'll see. But yeah, and we'll be back in a week's time. And who knows, maybe we will be talking about what happened in game seven, on the Saturday night. We'll see. And so just a reminder about that. We are going weekly for the Leafs playoff run. So hit that follow or subscribe button wherever you listen to or watch our show, and don't miss an episode. If you can take the time, we'd love to hear from you, and, leave us a rating or review. 5-star. And let us know what you think of the show. It's easy on Apple and Spotify, and it's important for us as exposure, as a source for Leafs content. And we thank you for taking the time.
And another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can buy us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. You can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or any of our social media profile pages.
And as always, we want to thank our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
We thank you as always for listening and watching Ladies Talking Leafs, presented by Bet Online. Till next time, go Leafs, go.
Never give up.
Never surrender.
Never.